Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Welcome to the Jill on Money podcast. It is Wednesday, September 22nd. Happy first day of autumn, which I think they should change. Mark, I don't know what your opinion is on this. We've never discussed it, but it is clear to me that the Tuesday after Labor Day should be the first day of autumn. It doesn't matter with global warming anyway. It's climate change is happening. It's just going to be hotter longer anyway. The seasons are going to be weirder. So I'm going to go on a one-woman campaign to make the first day after Labor Day, the Tuesday after Labor Day, the official start of autumn. Are you in or not? You're out. You want, when do you want the first day of autumn to be? Today? Why do you say that? Just because you think that's where the weather's getting better? Oh my God. I don't think they even teach it anymore. So Mark likes it because it's when they used to teach in the dark ages when he went to school, the equinoxes, the autumnal and the spring equinox. So, all right. Well, listen, I think my campaign is probably not really going to change anything. So happy autumn. And, just as we are coming into the change of seasons and as we are looking at September, Monday was a pretty rotten day for markets. It was good. You know, Mark, I love when there's a big sell-off. You know, I get jazzed by that. Isn't it? It's kind of sick, right? Oh my gosh. Mark enjoys it because they had a little cash that was waiting to get invested. So he did a little market timing. So that was good. What I wanted to do was to give you guys a little explanation of the selling that occurred on Monday and what my view of that is all about and what you should be doing. And I was able to go on CBS Mornings, our program, on Tuesday morning to discuss this with the fantastic anchors. And if you haven't seen the new show, by the way, I think it is fabulous. I really do. We have a new anchor. His name is Nate Burleson, and he joins Tony DeCoppel and Gail King. And it's a great energy on the set. I'm very excited about it. So here is my segment on CBS Mornings. When we come back, I'm going to tell you the questions they didn't ask me. It was in the script. We just didn't have time. So here's a segment.
In this morning's Eye on Money, we're watching the stock markets after yesterday's biggest drop since May. The S&P 500 lost 75 points, 1.7%. The Dow and NASDAQ also had big losses. Ahead of a two-day Federal Reserve meeting that starts today, CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger is with us today. Jill, what is going on? What spurred the mass sell-off?
Now, I don't want to freak everyone out, but some are calling this China's Lehman Brothers moment. And nice. This is what's going on.
But you don't
on.
Want to scare people.
But I don't want to Lehman scare people because I don't want you to read about it and then get scared. So let's put some context into this. There is a big property company in China called Evergrande, used borrowed money to expand, built a lot of residential units. And there's been a housing boom in China. Chinese regulators have cracked down on some of these practices, said don't use so much borrowed money. Company starts going south. And now with all this borrowed money due to be paid back, there is a worry that this company's problems, this bankruptcy that's looming, could spread in China, could spread to the whole Chinese economy, could spread around the world. That contagion fear is what triggered yesterday's sell-off.
Now, after a drop like this, there's two ways to look at it. There's panic, right? Let's get rid of everything. And then there's like, it's like a scene out of 300, Leonidas saying, this is where we hold. What would you recommend?
Well, somewhere in between. What I think is interesting is yesterday, large investment firms took the opportunity to look at what they were holding. selling and saying, wow, maybe we got too much risk in these portfolios. We saw a lot of big investors selling. Now, think about it. Coming into the session, they were up 18% on the year in the stock market.
Right.
That comes after last year's 16% gain. You see some shakiness and you say, let me take some of my risk off the table. For us, retirement savers, people who are plodding along, this is your moment. You take a deep cleansing breath. You say, let me stick to my game plan. Let me not fall into the trap of selling. But if you stick to your game plan, I think you are better rewarded in the long term.
It's hard to take deep cleansing breaths when you see the numbers drop. It just is. It's just human nature. But you're always calm, calm, calm.
Well, I'm not. I want to say this. When I'm not calm? When everyone is jumping in and markets are making new highs day after day. There is just as much risk when the market is up as when it's down. I think it's incumbent on us as regular people who are investing for the long term to remember why we're investing, have a game plan, stick to the game plan. It will serve you well, I promise.
Okay, so here's what we never got to in the segment. Because, you know, time's always short. Real estate is limited on that program. We only have 2 hours. The thing that they did not ask about, which we were going to go into, was about the Fed starting a 2-day meeting, which now is going to conclude today. And I think the big question is there something that has happened since the last meeting that would change the Fed's approach to where the economy stands? I think that the Fed is crystal clear that an event in China is not going to make them move. And even if this were some sort of scary contagion, I don't think the Fed and many economists believe that it's going to spread like wildfire. It could, but it may not. And I think they keep a close watch on the actions that the Chinese government will take. Because listen, if the fallout gets too big from this one company in China, believe me when I tell you, the People's Bank of China and the government there, they're going to intervene. They're not going to let wider economic damage occur. But that just brings us to where the Fed is. And in my mind, I think the Fed is really in a bind right now. I really do. And I think the Delta variant has growth to slow down. You know, from lots of different areas, we're getting that information, right? And, you know, it's not just on the employment front because we got kind of a punk report, you know, only 235,000 jobs created in the previous month. But we know that there has been a slowdown. And we also know concurrently that inflation looks like it's going to stick around a little bit longer than the Fed had projected. This combination is sometimes called stagflation, stagnating economy and higher prices or inflation. And I think that could cause the central bank to shift their policy sooner than previously anticipated. So, here's what's going to happen today when you hear about the Fed. Nothing's going to change in their policy, but I think that they're going to lay the groundwork for future changes. And what economists want to know, what investors want to know is, what are the plans to taper those bond purchases? When is the Fed going to raise interest rates? We'll get more information about that when the Fed gives its economic projections. And remember that if the Fed acts too quickly, right, if they start really changing policy and trying to address inflation, if they do that too quickly, it could potentially translate into businesses and households paying more to borrow. And of course, that would slow down economic progress, right? But if it waits too long, you could see those high prices persist and get built into consumer expectations. And then what happens? Then they're forced to essentially raise rates really quickly, and that will choke off economic growth as well. So pity the poor Fed official. Okay, that's it. That's the program for today, first day of autumn. If you have a question, just hop onto our website, jillonmoney.com. Hit the contact button. It's very easy, and we'll get your question. Don't forget to tell us if you would be able to join us live. We love talking to you. We love hearing your voices. Mark does all the work, so please do that. Subscribe to our sister broadcast. It's called Eye on Money. And send this podcast along to someone who you think might benefit from it. Or maybe leave us a rating or review. We're trying to expand our listenership. Mark, when you gave me those numbers, those updated numbers for the downloads, they're huge, huge. I mean, our numbers, you guys have really done an amazing job in sharing the information with others, but Man, we are really cranking along. Keep sharing it, tell people about it, and we always thank you for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's really important to us. Don't forget to put your hands metaphorically on someone's back. Grit, growth, grace. We'll talk to you tomorrow.